What's the most sustainable way to love fashion? It's changing the way you shop by shopping with The RealReal. The RealReal is the world's largest and most trusted source for authenticated luxury resale. When you shop with The RealReal, you'll find the luxury brands you love, like Prada, Celine, and Loewe, all for up to 90% off retail. And when you're ready to refresh your wardrobe, you can sell the pieces you no longer wear to fund your next new to you finds. Buy, sell, repeat. Guilt-free. The RealReal extends the life cycle of luxury by keeping coveted items in rotation. Sell to shop, shop to sell with The RealReal. It's better for the planet and better for your closet. Plus, during Earth Month, you can earn $100 extra when you sell with The RealReal. Go to therealreal.com to get started. Earn $100 extra during the entire month of April at therealreal.com. That's therealreal.com. Terms apply.
Are you angry? No, really. Has that one person got you fuming? Well, call them out. Now's your chance to tell them.
You know what? You just made the list.
You just made the list.
Here we go.
Let us know who's on your list. Call 615-737-1025. You just made the list. Now, on Darren, Donick, and Chase.
All right, third hour on this Friday afternoon. Darren McFarland, Willie Donick, Chase McCabe. A little bit of a twist today. Just we as a show did not think it's appropriate to do business as usual. It hasn't been business as usual this week for obvious reasons. So the twist is, rather than the naughtiness list, how about a nice list? Say that five times really fast. So rather than the normal naughty list, which is what we do, and we have fun with this on Friday, it's kind of your opportunity to get something off your chest and feel better about it. And we can sometimes laugh about it or agree, or, I mean, you'll get a lot of reaction from you just made the list every Friday.
I'm going to be honest with you. I had a sheet. I was ready.
Oh, I know. You've been telling me all week, but I think
I can say
I was, you know, we do what? As you can say, but yeah. It's not going to, it doesn't have an expiration date.
I am going to bring one thing up because it's relevant to all this. Once I pull it up here.
Why?
Go ahead.
I was going to say, why, while you're doing that, this part of this week has been different is we haven't had phone lines other than kind of make the best of what we don't have, and that is we have very limited phone lines. It's through a different system. It's got different numbers because our phone lines have been knocked out because of the storm, and so they're trying to get all that back, and so we've had to do kind of makeshift lines. So we can take calls. It's just a different number. Like, this is going to be very temporary, and then hopefully next week we'll have our phones back. But we would like to do a nice list, and we'll reward you with some VIP tickets to the Music City Irish Festival at Bicentennial Capital Mall State Park. That'll be on Sunday, March 15th, so that's next Sunday. The VIP tickets will give you access to the VIP area, and you can exchange your tokens for beers, and you sit and relax in the shade and enjoy a private VIP experience. But you're going to have to call 615-747-6220. I know. It's not a number that you have memorized like most do with our normal number. So it's 747-6220. You can also text us on the normal number.
615-737-1025. You can text. Okay, I know we're confusing you, and we apologize for that. But we will open up the text line. You just made the list this week.
And this week you can win via a text.
So if you want to text in, but remember, it's the good list.
Today is the good
list.
We're
not angry. We're gonna be positive.
We're going to table it this week because it's just the right thing to do. Today should not be a naughty list. Today should be about all the good that's been going on. And we'd love to hear a story of something good. That's why we're doing this. You know, something you've observed. You know, what's been happening, maybe happening around you. So that's what we're looking for. 747-6220, 747-6220. And like I said, I know we're probably confusing you this week, but that's what we've got. That's the best way we can do this. you can still text at our normal number, but it's only text only. We can't take calls on the number at 737-1025. So we can take your calls at 747-6220. Who would like to get it started?
I'll start it off.
Okay.
And so we're gonna go bad to good. This is how this is gonna work. Because
bad to good?
Yep. You just follow me on this. Okay. So Ryan Porth, our program director, obviously deals with a lot, and this week has done a tremendous job of helping us all coordinate everything is, you know, behind the scenes as we try and do our part to help the community. But he put a tweet thread out, and I wanted to read it. I wanted to read part of it. And he said, please allow me to share this thread. A listener reached out via email last night saying, quote, shame on you for 102.5 The Game talking more about the tornado devastation than sports yesterday. Ryan goes on to say, typically I don't get bothered by comments like that, but I did this time. He gives a very well thought out reasoning behind that. So in the sense of the traditional, you just made the list, whoever sent that email, shame on you for one. But our job in media, whether it's television or radio, is to help the community and to inform the community. That's why the FCC gives out a license. I mean, that's the number one job of a broadcaster, is to make sure that the media, or make sure that the community knows what's going on. So I put Ryan on the good list for pointing that out, that sometimes, unfortunately, we have to kind of call people out for, I know you want to hear sports. I would much rather have spent my Tuesday sitting here with you guys talking sports. But you know what? It was bigger than sports on Tuesday. My heart was hurting for my friends that got their homes hit in Germantown and East Nashville. I was worried about Willie and his family. I was worried about Kara Hammer. I was worried about other people. And so it was just a different day on Tuesday. And I think everybody has done a tremendous job of getting the word out, and what we're doing, you know, to raise or to bring, you know, to get supplies. I walked downstairs and it looked like Christmas, people dropping off clothes and everything. There were supplies piled up everywhere that people had dropped off. That's the good in this community. But I did think it was important to point out that, like, why would you send an email like that? That's just ridiculous to even have that type of thought after what everybody has gone through. So my good list, we had him on yesterday, Cumberland baseball coach Woody Hunt, that lost his house in the tornado, is going to coach his team this weekend. They left yesterday. Yep. He's coaching his team. He's doing what he loves, and he said that that's therapeutic to him. And so continued thoughts and prayers for him and his family. They're safe. Their house will have to be rebuilt. But he said also that the insurance company's paying for an apartment for them to live in temporarily until their house is back. But stories like that, that's why we're here.
Well said. We did 3.5 hours on Tuesday. We talked sports for 30 minutes.
Yeah. And that's all we needed Tuesday. To talk.
And you know what? That was the right thing to do.
I will not lose any sleep over that.
No. No. And for somebody who doesn't understand that, sorry, but that's just the way it is. Didn't feel like a sports day. It's much bigger than a sports day. The nice list is very long. We know that. So I'll just point out some of the obvious stuff. It's really cool to see in sports we have rivals, right? I'm as guilty as charged as getting on here and booing the Blackhawks, and I've had so much fun at the Blackhawks' expense and, you know, making fun of Blackhawks fans and, you know, that whole thing. Just what rivals do, and the Blues, and it's just what you do in good rivalries, right? To see that Craig Leupold would give $25,000, and I get it. He's got a tie here. The Predators are here because of Craig Leupold. Let's not forget that. It's the reason they exist. And the Minnesota Wild organization matching that with $25,000. Then the league stepping up and saying, okay, well, if you guys are going to send $50,000, we'll match that and we'll send $50,000. So $100,000 coming from the NHL, the Minnesota Wild, and Craig Leupold. And then the Blackhawks doing the 50-50 split pot on Tuesday night's game and sending, that was the charity that night. And now St. Louis has started up an auction, which is currently going on through Sunday night at 9 o'clock. And everything is going to go for the relief here. It's just cool because sports is about competition and winning and losing and rivals and fan bases. But in time of need, you come together. And that has just been really cool to see is there's some of their biggest rivals right there, right? It doesn't get any bigger than Blackhawks and Blues and Wild, and yet they're saying, we feel you. We're here to help. We're going to push the rivalry aside here, and we're here to help. So, like I said, the nice list is so long. That's why we're doing this. But I guess if I had to choose for air purposes something just to throw out there, I'll start with that. Willie, what do you got?
I'll just give a shout-out to my neighborhood, the East Side, because I've been watching it firsthand, all the work, just the diligent organization and participation with volunteers just helping out their own neighborhood, all reaches of it, because it is really something to walk through and take a look at what's going on over there. And I'll just give one example of what I saw. Wednesday night, I'm taking my son home from his middle school baseball game. It's 8:30 at night. Didn't expect to see anybody. You know, it's dark. The power's out in a section of where the damage is. That's where the power's out, right? So it's can't see. There were people still who you could tell, you know, they didn't just get there at, you know, 10 minutes before. They'd been at it for a long time. They were still moving stuff at 8:30 at night. And I don't know if they didn't look like they were just wrapping up either. Like, they were working, getting branches away, clearing debris, all of that stuff. It's been really powerful to watch. And there's still a long way to go, but it's only one way to do it, right? Step by step, every day. And I know this weekend, I'm sure a lot of people that have been tied up at work or had other things going on, there's going to be a new wave of people going out to all the neighborhoods that have been affected to do the same kind of thing. Just start the process, whatever the next step is in the line.
And I know a lot of people have issues. I get it. We're not here to talk about that with daylight savings time. I get it. Everybody's got their opinion on it. But you know what? In this case, Saturday, we'll get more light, right, on Sunday. Mm-hmm. It's going to be light longer. So that's going to be help. That's going to be helpful in the cleanup process, that starting on Sunday, that it'll get dark later. And so we'll get a little bit more light out there. And so that's going to be nice. I don't even remember it ever being this early. Has it always been this early?
Well,
weekend in March?
The last few years it has.
Has it?
Yeah.
Okay.
They changed it a few years ago.
All right. I didn't remember it being this early, which mm-hmm. I'm not complaining, because in the case of what we're talking about, that could not get here any faster. It's going to give more light to people who are doing really good work in the community. All right. We'll come back. And we'll go through your phone calls. Remember, that number is 747-6220. Call in. The lines that we have available are loaded, and we'll go through your calls and your texts. On the other side, Darren Donica Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game. VIP tickets to the Music City Irish Festival, Bicentennial Capitol Mall State Park. That'll be next Sunday, March 15th. Get the VIP experience for that event. 747-6220 is the makeshift line that we've got to take your calls. We want to use that also for pick six coming up in the next hour. You can also text at our normal working number when it's
Make sure you leave your name, though, so I can give you credit.
Yeah, you have to leave your name. 737-1025. All right, let's go. But we're doing this with a twist, as you've heard us. Or if you're just tuning in, You Just Made the List is not the naughty list. This week, the right thing to do is the nice list.
Do you want me to read these after you take these calls?
Yeah, they've been waiting patiently. So let's get Chapman first. Chapman, who's on your nice list?
Hey, can you hear me?
Yep, we got you.
Yo, I just wanted to shout out everyone who came out and volunteered in the North Nashville area. I'm not really from here, from Chattanooga. And the organization from Hands On Nashville, everyone with chainsaws, people were moving logs. you know, guys rigged up climbing trees, cutting them. Just everybody was filing in like ants. That was awesome.
So you were there firsthand to see all this?
Yeah.
That's great. And you're here from Chattanooga?
Yeah, just recently I've been involved in the area, and just someone close to me was affected by it, so I felt like I had to answer to you guys were putting it out from a message from Hands On Nashville, so I just signed up and went out.
Well, that's great. Good for you, Chapman. Thank you for doing that.
Thanks for putting the message out there.
Sure. Absolutely. That's what we're talking about. It's our job to do that.
So put him on the good list.
Well, no doubt. Chapman is definitely on the good list. Keep up the good work, and thank you for calling in and sharing.
Thanks, you guys. Thanks, everybody else, too.
That's what we're looking for right there. That's exactly what we're looking for. 747-6220. 747-6220. How about that? Lives in Chattanooga. Been listening. And he's a friend in need. Been here. Involved in North Nashville.
Yeah, North Nashville is an area that needs some help for sure, and so I know they appreciate it, so keep them in mind too. I know that there are a lot of organizations that are trying to make sure that all the volunteers that are showing up or signing up are getting, you know, distributed out to all the different places that need help.
747-6220. How about John in Mount Juliet? John, you're up next. Who's on your nice list?
John, you there? I don't know if that's working.
Elijah may have to put them on hold and bring them up. Let's see. John, are you there?
Nope.
I'm putting them on hold. We'll come back. You got some texts you want to read?
I do. Josh says, just want to say thank you for keeping me updated because I live in Florida, but I'm from Tennessee. Kathy writes in, I was in Southern California Sunday through Thursday for work. Shortly after the tornado happened, my next door neighbors texted me about it. Then in the morning, they texted pictures of the damage to my house. I had multiple text calls and notices on Facebook of people who were going to drive over and board up the windows. They got blown out and put the tarp on the roof. Luckily, I have a fantastic insurance agent, Jay Norman of Shelter Insurance, who had a crew out there within 2 hours to take care of it. That's from Kathy.
That's awesome. That is great. And by the way, thanks to everybody who showed up the plaza yesterday. There was a game tent out there. We were looking for items that we told you throughout the course of the day yesterday, work gloves and hand sanitizer and large trash bags, flashlights, batteries, and a lot of you showed up. I saw a bunch of that stuff coming to the station this morning.
Yeah, and I mean, there's a ton of it downstairs that I saw when I went in. Paul says the local radio stations the local radio stations are on my nice list. Sometimes there are events that are bigger than sports. This is one of those times. Being in the Coast Guard for over 30 years, I spent most of my time assisting others while sacrificing family, but the feeling of helping others is immensely satisfying.
That's great. That is awesome stuff. Let's try Ron. Ron, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Okay, who's on your nice list?
Well, this is not going to be the big volume one, but it will be one that is special to me. I live in East Nashville. We didn't take the brunt. We were probably a mile away from what could have been a really bad situation like everyone else is experiencing. So I had a couple of pickets on my new fence, privacy fence, we just installed about 5 months ago. So I'm thinking about my neighbors and other things I have to do. I called and left a message with the vendor who had installed the fence and said, hey, I need an estimate on how to repair this. And I never got back with him. I showed up from work yesterday. Not only had he replaced the picket on the fence that was damaged, he went through and inspected the entire fence and replaced 5 of them at his own cost. I called him back and I said, I didn't ask for all that. How do you, I mean, when can I pay you? And he said, he's not just a vendor. He's a neighbor. Don't worry about it. Be safe.
Wow. That's a cool story.
I mean, I got the name of the company. I don't know what's appropriate and not appropriate. He's a low-key guy, but he does excellent job, you know, excellent work. But I have to figure out a way to let people know that there are some good contractors out there, a lot of them, but this one definitely hit the mark.
Wow. That's a refreshing contractor story, because usually they're always bad stories.
They are. I mean, I'll say it. I'll probably get in all kinds of trouble. It's a ram fence. I mean, I'm not, you know, there's no pay. It's a real story. I mean, you can come to my house and look, he replaced them. And I came home, my wife was in tears, and she never cried. She's from Jolton, nothing to her cry. you know, you guys have been amazing throughout this process, like always, and not just with sports, but with the community. You've always put the community first, and that's why I won't turn my station away from you. Only when Jared's on. But anyway, we're moving on.
Well, it is Fridays in the third hour, so, you know, we had to work that in. Ron, that's a great story. Yes. Thank you for calling in and sharing.
Fantastic.
Wow, he's over in East Nashville. See you, Willie.
There's a lot of great stories like that, yeah. I'm telling you.
Let's try Mount Juliet again. It's Steve this time. Steve, what do you got for us? Can you hear us?
It's something with that line.
Is that the same line that we're having?
I think
problem?
So. Yeah.
So it's not Mount Juliet. It's that line.
Yeah. Look, bear with us. We're still working through this. Our engineering team's done a great job, but it's very temporary as our main system continues to be out.
I'll give one more shout out. Chris Mason, Hal Gill teaming up with the Seventh Element. If you follow those guys on Twitter, the Seventh Element is a group of military personnel. They jumped into action, amazingly so. I don't know if you saw the picture, and they had fun with it. You know, why is Hal Gill?
Oh, they
have
were
a chainsaw
last night. I saw it. Yeah,
yeah. But those guys are
phenomenal. Loud and proud.
Those guys are phenomenal.
Oh,
they're huge. Oh. You know, so loyal to the team, but man,
Hal said it best last night. They do it every day,
every day,
every day. This is a lot of people are jumping in and doing this in this moment. They do this every day. That's what they do. Shout out to you. Get a better perspective of wow. You know, yeah. They have to unfortunately see this type of first responders. They have to see this stuff all the time, and. It makes you. I hope you appreciate it more, especially in times like this.
Yeah, I mean, it just happened to be Military Salute Week, you know, and so it just tied all together. But so just a big.
I thought that was very cool last night in the arena. Paul McCann was, you know, stand up if you served in the Army, stand up if you served in the Navy, stand up and just going through the military branches. That was with standing ovations. That was awesome.
Here's another guy for the good list. How great was Paul? In the whole, that's not an easy message to deliver. You know, he was flawless. You could tell the emotions were running
MVP.
High. I was getting emotional. I had to pull it together. I'm just glad somebody threw a couple catfish on there.
Yeah.
Because Mace and I were looking at each other and we were like, I'm not ready to talk. Are you? Like, we were misty eyed. But Paul, I mean, is there anybody better at what he does? Just representing the moment, you know, the read, the situation, just great stuff.
Yep.
Well done.
Well said.
You take it for granted that's an easy job to do. That's not an easy job to do. He was the right guy.
I don't know who said that's an easy job. I haven't said that. I don't know who said
but
that.
It goes beyond just reading who the penalty is on, who scored the goal. You know, there's, but he can do it all. And when it's time to do something like that, it's a heavy thing, he just delivered. It was fantastic.
Question. Hats off, a hat tip to Paul McCann for sure. I wanted to take those Mount Juliet calls because I know that they've really been affected, and I bet they had really cool stories. Because obviously, I know people in Mount Juliet, and I've seen a lot of the pictures, and I know what's happening. It's, it took a hit. So, thanks for all the participation. You have any texts you'd like to read? We need to go to the break. Anything you'd like to put out there?
This one is unnamed. I don't want to win anything. Just wanted to recognize and give a shout out to the NHL community and all the love and support we, Nashville, were given from hockey communities around the nation.
Yep. And how about the Nashville Strong shirts being sold last night at the arena. Very cool. Sold out quick. Quick.
Yep.
They go. And you have to, you know, they were telling you basically go to the locker room to order. But, you know, that just, if you didn't get, you didn't go get your shirt early, you had no chance. That's really cool. And, of course, all going to help out disaster relief. We'll come back. More of Darren, Donnick, and Chase on the other side. ESPN 102.5 The Game. All right, on Fridays, this time of year, it's time to get Willie's Field. He's our bracketologist. He's going to tell us, according to him, what the field of 68 should look like today. So with that being said, Willie, I turn things over to you.
Ah, yes, the ever-changing picture of the tournament.
I look forward to this.
Yes, I know you do, Chase. I know you do. Just a couple of quick notes. Big shout-out to Lipscomb. They are in the final for a second straight year in the A-Sun. They were off the chart, off the radar, about halfway through the regular season.
They lost a lot, including their coach.
Well, but just, I mean, fast forward midway through. You know, they have a first-year coach, and it looked like their season was going nowhere. But here they are now, red hot, playing Liberty in the final. They just beat Liberty last Saturday. And so be aware for pick six. There will be a chance for you to pick that game. They will be an underdog, but we will factor that in. But the fact is, they got one shot. They've got a shot. When you're back in the tournament, that would be a great story. We know what the deal is with the OVC. So I won't go through all of the one-bid leagues, although that's going to be fun. I mean, we're starting the fun part, where every night you're going to see a mid-major championship going on. To me, those games, you can't beat them. I just love watching a game where the winner's in, the loser's not in. It's just going to be fantastic. Stall starts really tonight, and then we'll start crowning champions on Saturday and Sunday and on throughout the week. So let's get to see where the picture has changed. And you let me know, guys, how much time we have, because I know we have something kind of back and forth.
I think we're going to be all right. The rest of the hour is going to be yours.
All right. Well, let's go to the big things to be watching for then. The West Coast Conference, the tournament is coming up here. The Zags, then the question becomes, what about the other teams? BYU and St. Mary's. That tournament is worth watching. I think that league is going to certainly get more than one. The question is, will they get three? And is there room for BYU and St. Mary's as well as Gonzaga? I say yes. So we'll get to that in a moment. The American Conference. Houston looks very solid. After that, it's very murky. The Atlantic 10. Dayton, we know, is solid. The question is,
they're the Flyers, in case you're wondering.
Yeah. Where are they seated? Will it be a one seed? That's a very good question for the committee here. How close can they get if they win that tournament? It's a pretty good league. Then the question for the rest of the league is, how many other teams will they get in? So let's keep that right there. So on my list, we're, after kind of looking at those three murky leagues, we're at number 27. So let's go to the ACC. Duke, Florida State, Louisville, Virginia. We know are pretty much locks. Virginia's done a nice job. As ugly as they play, they're going to be in there. They're not nearly as good as they were last year. Then after that, very murky. We move now to the Big 12. Baylor, Kansas, Texas Tech, West Virginia still holding strong. Couple of teams making a run. We'll get to those. Throw those on the bubble pile. The Big East. What a great league that is. Seton Hall, Creighton, Villanova, Marquette, and Butler. Villanova and Seton Hall played a great game the other night. Wow, that was fun to watch. That was a great tournament type of game. There's other teams that are making noise in that league that we'll get to. Now we're up to 40 on the list of 68. We go to the very deep Big Ten. Maryland, Penn State, Iowa, Michigan State, Illinois, Wisconsin, Rutgers, Michigan, Ohio State. all safely in, I believe. Rutgers, maybe just a shade of question, but I don't think so. I think they're going to be in there. And there's others as well. We'll get to the team from the state of Indiana in a little bit. Now we get to spot number 49 on the chart. We go out to the Pac-12. Colorado, Oregon, Arizona, locks. After that, complicated. We'll come back to it. Locks from the SEC. Kentucky, Auburn, LSU, same story as it's been for weeks. After that, picture maybe becoming a little bit clearer, but what does Tennessee have to say about it now? Now we get to the bubble teams that I've been looking at for the last several weeks. This is where I make some adjustments. Team number 55, I say, is BYU. I think they're going to be in regardless of whether they win their tournament or not. 56 is Florida. They're on pretty solid ground, in my estimation. They've had a nice second half of the year. Team 57, going with Indiana. Maybe still not 100% certain, but they're getting there. Indiana out of the Big Ten. Two teams from the Big East. Teams 58 and 59, I go with Providence and Xavier. Both have really played some tight games. Xavier was on national TV on Sunday. May have seen it. Dramatic win at Georgetown. Big threes at the end of the game. Had a great tournament flavor to it. That was a big win for the Musketeers, and Providence has come up big here recently as well. Team number 60, I'm still going to go with USC out of the Pac-12. Slight edge over some of the other teams in that league that are battling, such as Arizona State. I'm still putting them in. Arizona State stumbled a little bit. They should have another win or two there to make it a no-doubter. Still like them. Team 62, Wichita State, another team that I look and I'm like, Need another solid win, need a good tournament just to be sure. But right now I got them in. But once you get to this range, you are talking bubble. You are on the bubble here if I'm mentioning your name in this group. But you're still above the line. Team 63, St. Mary's. I want to see a good tournament. If I'm on that committee, the human element, the ratings are okay. Got to get it done, though, in the tournament. Team 64, Oklahoma. Out of the Big 12. The conference tournament, I think, is going to tell us something about them. I like their chances. Now we get to the last four in. How are we doing on time, guys? Good?
Well, we have options. Because what options? We were going to do here is good for 1:30, so you guys decide.
Okay.
You went way faster than you had to. But
right.
Okay.
Well, because I didn't go through all the smaller conferences on this.
Well, you can do that if you want to.
Okay.
Test your nicknames for the other.
That's
things.
Fine.
But now we're into the
Chase
last four.
In.
We're in the last four. This is where it really gets complicated. You have two teams in the Pac-12 right now that are vying for spots. Stanford, who, in my mind, I look at them like, really? Are they in? Some websites, some of the data, the quad one wins, things like that. They like Stanford? I'm not sure. They are right on the bubble. But right now I got them in. Cincinnati. Yeah, Ryan Porth. I know. Cincinnati. You want them to be there desperately. They are a classic bubble team. But I think they'll have an opportunity to look really good in their conference tournament.
He's a UCLA fan now. He's no longer Cincinnati.
UCLA is another team right on the bubble. Now, you talked to Bill Walton.
Little Mickey.
I believe it was last Saturday night, UCLA got the big win over Arizona.
Arizona at home.
Huge one. That really vaulted them. It doesn't put them in. Like, if you talk to Bill Walton, it's got them in. But they're still on the bubble. But they've made a nice run here.
Who's Arizona's coach?
Sean Miller. Yeah.
Yeah.
They lost to UCLA twice this year. That was loss number two against Little Mickey in UCLA.
Isn't it amazing that all those guys are still, I mean,
him and Will Wade have dodged bullets.
That's unbelievable.
Then the last team I have in is Texas. This is another team that has come out of nowhere. They look dead in the water, making a run. It's precarious, but I got them in. First four out. Purdue played one of the toughest schedules in the country. I like them. I've seen teams get in with a lot of losses. You look at their record, 16 and 14, you're saying, come on, man. But look at who they played. It's a question of how deep will the committee go into the Big Ten. You're going to let everybody? I mean, they've got a ton of teams that are going to be in that field. Will they go as deep as Purdue? NC State, first four out. Out of the ACC. Can you imagine the ACC only getting four teams in? It's possible.
How many SEC four. Teams have you named?
Right now, I've named four. Can you imagine? But that's where we get to Mississippi State. I have them in the next four out, or the first four out. Memphis is making a late run to try to get back on the radar. Long way to go. Now, could that team rip off a conference championship in the tournament? I think they could. They're talented enough to do it. That's how I think Memphis could make some noise, get to at least the finals of their tournament. So I think they really have a shot. Then I'm getting to team 73 through 76. That would be, as Joe Lunardi would say, the next four out. Tulsa, UConn, Arkansas, and Tennessee. Tennessee beats Auburn. Still sniffing a possibility here.
So you're telling me there's a chance?
Just a little smidge. A little smidge.
Telling you, they would. They're going to be kicking themselves. That Auburn game.
The first Auburn game is really hurting them. But now, if they beat them, and they're coming off
a
week where you beat Kentucky.
Road game.
But they won at Kentucky.
I know, that's what I'm saying. You would have
then you get
Auburn and Kentucky as road victories.
Well, you can't talk about what you haven't done.
I know.
Right? But if they get those two, and then a strong SEC tournament, maybe get another big fish in there. Maybe, I don't know what the draw would be, but if they were to get another win over Kentucky, Auburn, or LSU, maybe even Florida, stranger things have happened. Still a long shot. It's a long shot, but they have a heartbeat.
You don't have South Carolina anywhere on there?
I don't think so. Still, make a run in the tournament, make some noise, get some attention.
I have to believe South Carolina, Arkansas, or Mississippi State, one of them's getting in. Like, you have all of them.
You're saying a fourth team.
Fifth.
A fifth team, sorry. Fifth. Yeah, a fifth team.
I think one of them's
there's certainly
in.
Room. Got to play your way in.
Or maybe even, who knows, Tennessee. Who knows? That's why next week will be interesting here.
And then there's the whole thing of what if San Diego State loses? What if Northern Iowa loses? What happens to East Tennessee State?
Well, you're just saying that knocks out bubble teams.
Yes, yeah. That shrinks the bubble.
Because you have to take two from that conference.
Exactly.
All right, we'll come back, put a bow on the third hour next. If you're going to be out on the west side of town tomorrow, stop in Walmart. It's located at 7044 Charlotte Pike, Nashville. That's from 11 in the morning until 2 in the afternoon. We'll be out there, 102.5 The Game. Chase McKay will be out there.
You know it.
He'll be there.
Come say hi.
People should. You're going to be giving away prizes. Why not? Tickets to upcoming Predators games. Nash is going to be on hand from 1 until 2 o'clock.
A Philip Forsberg autographed jersey.
That's when it says you're going to be giving away prizes. That's one of them.
Yeah.
Hello.
How about that?
He scored last night.
He did.
Plus, you're going to be out there accepting donations to give back to Nashville Strong tornado relief efforts. Grab a limited edition of Predators Dr. Pepper six packs. Dr. Pepper is so nice to treat you. That'll be out there at Walmart at 7044 Charlotte Pike in Nashville. Plus, you can register to win a pair of tickets to a Predators home game. And as you mentioned, an autographed Philip Forsberg jersey. And I think you're going to have pucks out there, too.
Yep. Going to have a lot of stuff. So come by and see us. It'll be fun to be hanging out. Starting at 11. My side of town, the west side, just there off Charlotte Pike, the Walmart. So come see us.
Elijah, you watch a little bit more college basketball than we do. Do you anything stand out with what Willie put out there that maybe you agree or disagree with?
I might disagree with Wichita State now. I think losing to Memphis last night hurt a ton. I think that hurt them a whole lot.
That was big.
And Memphis is actually kind of catapulted themselves into the conversation where it looked like they were NIT bound maybe a week or so ago. I think that game last night that was actually on ESPN was a really good game, had some real impact on the bubble and really is pushing Wichita State out a little bit. I think Cincinnati might need a little more work. They don't have many impressive road wins. All the big ones they've had at home. And they've really struggled in the conference schedule. That's the thing with the AAC. It's really weird because they all had really good non-conference schedules, and they've beat each other up once they've all gotten into conference play. No one's really separated themselves outside of maybe Houston. So the AAC is really interesting.
And Houston lost the game. Who did they lose to the other night?
They ended up getting upset. Yeah. Even them have their occasional struggles.
I still think they'll get in there. But to me, that tournament is going to be very interesting. Mm-hmm. The American tournament and the A-10 tournament in particular. Like, what if somebody were to beat Dayton? You know, it just takes one loss. There's teams that are pretty good, like Richmond, Rhode Island. I mean, there's some pretty talented teams.
And Richmond was on the bubble for a while, too, and they've suffered some losses in the A-10, which the A-10's a pretty good conference, too. I mean, VCU's a strong team.
St. Bonaventure's not bad.
Rhode Island's a whole lot better this year, and, of course, Dayton went into them on their senior night and beat them by 27. And Dayton might be the best two-point shooting basketball team we've seen in the last two decades.
What's your thought on the Pac-12 right now?
It's the Wild West. I mean, anything can happen. UCLA's really played spoiler, and they're just playing hot right now.
Is anybody really good? That's what I want to know. Because I don't believe anybody's really good in that conference.
I think Colorado's pretty good, but like when you're playing Colorado basketball, you're like playing on Mars. No one's watching you play. But they offensively, I've watched a couple of their games. Tyler Bay could be a sneaky, interesting NBA draft prospect. They're long. They shoot really well. They have a couple of guys who shoot about 40% from three and shoot three or four a game. McKinley Wright's a really good scorer. Colorado's interesting. I don't think that they're a contender, but they're just interesting. And UCLA, like roster-wise, is the worst of the bunch, but they're playing the best. I mean, they took it to Arizona at Arizona and then had that big win Saturday night. And having two wins against Arizona looks really good on a resume because as of last week, Arizona was top 15 in net ranking. So that helps them out
a lot. What is UCLA? I haven't watched very many of their games. First team to 50 or 60 wins?
Usually. Yeah. First team to crack 40% field goal shooting and holding your opponents to hitting, three out of every 10 shots? Like, the Mick Cronin MO has definitely moved from Cincinnati to UCLA. Uh-huh. It's not aesthetically pleasing basketball.
No, it is
by
not.
By any means. No. It's almost like watching paint dry. And
I'm really curious to see where they seed those teams because the Pac-12 hasn't had a lot of success the last few years. So we're talking about a bunch of 6, 7, 8 seeds.
I think your winner, Arizona State, might be the best, I guess, top to bottom team in that conference, and they could be a 5.
And they're they take a step back every time you think, okay, here's a solid team. They take a step back. They can't shoot.
Yeah. Oh, at all. They've got a ton of athletes.
They really struggle shooting the ball.
Remy Martin's very hit or miss. He's kind of their go-to guy on that offense.
I think all their seeds could be like Arizona State. Aren't they like a double-digit seed?
Maybe they might be.
They could be. Yeah. I mean, if they end up winning out and maybe winning their conference, I could see them even moving up a little bit. But I mean, at most, your winner's 5-6. Colorado maybe.
Maybe Oregon. So
Oregon's interesting.
Just tell me the 12 that's going to beat a 5.
Might be 3 or 4 of those this year.
I absolutely think this will be a year where when the point spreads are put out, the 12 versus 5, there might be a 12 that's favored over a 5.
You know what else has been happening a lot lately? A 13's been beating a 4.
That's
true. You can count on that too.
Oh, for sure. And this year, as good as some of the majors are. I mean, I've seen Joe Lenardi's had out there that he thinks the OVC winner could be a 15 seed. Like, imagine Murray State or Austin Peay being a 15 and playing a 2 like Kentucky, who's been prone to losing to teams that they're obviously not as good as. I mean, we saw what they did to Evansville, and they struggled with Utah Valley. Granted, that was in November.
Has Evansville won a conference game yet?
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a bad loss.
That is a terrible loss. The coach got canned.
Who are the number one seeds today?
Number one seeds, Kansas for sure. Kansas is a lock. Gonzaga will be a lock. I'm not confident about Baylor anymore being a lock for a 1. Hmm. Just because of not just the loss to Kansas, but they've struggled against teams. Texas Tech was unranked. I'm high on Texas Tech, but they struggled heavily. Texas Tech took them to overtime and probably should have won that game. The loss at TCU was pretty ugly because TCU kind of gave it to them late in that game. Baylor's problem is they just can't score. They don't have one guy on that team that they can look at and say, this guy's going to give me a bucket. I mean, your Mark Vitals and your Gillespies, like those guys are great defenders. And they might be the best, have the most talented individual defenders in all of college basketball.
All right.
They just can't buy a bucket sometimes.
All right, let's go out west to teams that we don't watch very often.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I say we, the city of Nashville. Okay. Elijah's up late. He watches these games.
Oh, all the times.
Let's say San Diego State and Gonzaga each win their leagues.
Mm-hmm.
Could they be one seeds? And if you had to choose one of them, who would you choose?
They easily could be. And a lot of it's going to be eye test stuff, too, because San Diego State hasn't – all the games they've won recently haven't necessarily been blowouts. I mean, Air Force gave them all they could handle in the first round of the Mountain West Conference tournament yesterday. That was like a 3-4-point game midway through the second half. And
Gonzaga
Air Force had a
get
lead.
The kiss because of their history.
They're going to get – because
of
their history.
It's a human element, okay? You got human beings in there seeding, and they're just – they're going to get the advantage over San Diego State. They just will.
They've been doing it longer.
Right.
And
a long time.
Mark Few has kind of gained that reputation where even if his team's not deserving of a one seed, he's probably going to get a nod because he's Mark Few. And offensively, this Gonzaga team might be the best in the country. Now, they have a hard time guarding people sometimes. But, I mean, KenPom, I think, still has them at number one in terms of offensive efficiency. And they'll score on anybody. So if I have to choose between one, I'm definitely going to lean towards Gonzaga because of that.
Yep. All right, we'll come back, kick off the final hour with pick six. That's next.